Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, God, your undying love and affection for your people, for us. Your mercy knows no end, and it's fresh every day, God. Just thank you. We pray for your word to go forth, God, to cut through, God, to do surgery, to heal, to nourish, God, to transform. God, pray for just your presence over us, God, as we look at just what it means to honor you and to praise you and to worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is our 11th sermon on talking about church. So we're in this subsection on gathering. So as a church, as an assembly, as a people, we gather together. And first we looked at preaching and the Word of God going forth to understand the truth, to understand God's Word. And then we looked at last week about worship and what it means to worship, to offer ourselves up, to bow down before God, to submit to the Lord, to offer up sacrifice of ourselves as a way of treasuring Him or worshiping Him. So today we're going to look at praise. Now, often you hear the term praise and worship, and rightly so. There's biblical warrant for that. And so we'll take a look at that. So last week we looked at the definition. To worship is to bow down, to submit. That is both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And praise, likewise, contributes to that. And so let's take a look at. So we're going to look at the purpose praise, and then we'll look at the kinds or types of praise that Scripture prescribes for us. The word praise in the Old Testament is the word Hillel. Sometimes you hear hallelujah. That's where we get that word. It means to boast, to boast of God. It's to honor, it's to glorify. So in the New Testament, if you must boast, boast in the Lord. So if we're going to praise, we can praise the Redskins, we can praise this, we can pray. But if you must praise, praise the Lord. So we praise, we honor God, we magnify God, and so hence where we get the word worship. In doing so, we are ascribing worth to God. That's what, worship means. So John 4:23, Jesus is now, addressing, because, the woman in the well, if you remember the story, Jesus comes to Samaria and is seeking water and has this conversation with a woman. And she's so surprised because men, just in general, would not be talking to a woman in that era. But she has this conversation. She's, in a sense, boasting of the place where the well is and talking about the place of worship. And so Jesus addresses her and says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Now, Jesus is talking about in spirit. He says the kingdom of God belongs to those who are what? Lowly in spirit. There is a inner disposition when we come to worship. There is a preparation of the heart, this tenderness of heart, You know, Robert was alluding, the soil, the posture, not just to give, because that was the Old Testament, you know? It was like, well, what are we going to do, right? And Jesus is, a time is coming when you're not going to be doing the offering, you're going to be receiving the offering. And you're being postured or positioned to receive. And so there is this humility in worship. And then it must be in truth. You know, we must do so by the word of God. And now Jesus talks about this idea of honoring, right? That's what praise is in Matthew 15:8. The leaders at the time were honoring Jesus. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So it is, sometimes we come in here, we go through the motions of worship. And there is nothing that would not be by definition worship. Because the kind of worshipers God is seeking are those who are engaged in the Spirit with all their hearts, postured to both give and to receive. But also, it's also the engaging of the mind. In this posturing, your mind is looking at the lyrics, and the lyrics is not just words, but it's spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in a tongue, speaking in tongues, by the way. There was this controversy in the church about speaking in tongues, and it was indiscernible. People couldn't understand, and people who spoke in tongues didn't even understand what they're saying. So many of you, if you've been involved in the charismatic movement, you know, I used to, you know, speak in tongues. I guess occasionally I still do, but it's very unfruitful for me because I don't comprehend it. And so Paul's addressing it. He's not forbidding it, but he's addressing it. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And I would agree. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. So we are thoughtfully engaged and so the praise team is very thoughtfully engaged in selecting the songs, you know? And many of you hear the same songs over and over, which is a good thing. And it's different because if I hear a song, and I don't know what a miracle this really is, if I listen to a song, the praise songs that we listen to, that we sing here, I can't listen to by myself because I just know it. Like, I can only listen to a song only a few times before I'm tired of it, honestly. But when I come to sing the same songs, it's just different corporately. Praising and knowing a song is very helpful. You know, and Robert did some oldies, you know, I mean, like really oldies. I appreciate that. Nate does it a little bit more, you know. I love that. I love, why? Because I know the words and it's very helpful. My mind is better engaged. And Paul says that's very fruitful, right? That's very helpful. And so as I posture my heart, as I humble myself to offer myself up before the Lord, to submit myself to Him, and having my mind engaged to comprehend is amazing. Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Magnify is not a microscope magnify, right? We're not trying to take something tiny and make it bigger. It's more like a telescope magnify. Take something great And we can't just see it as great or big. See, we serve a big God. We serve a huge God who's sovereign over everything. He's the creator of the universe. And he's just but a dot in our minds. So we come together because the word literally means to make great. Now, we're not trying to make God great. We're trying to see him as great. That's why they interpret that word to mean magnify. To see him as he is. Great. Big. Do you understand how amazing we come here and we sing praises and we come here with all the troubles and the cares of this world? Because although we know that he's big and great, we just don't see him that way. So we go home and live in turmoil, thinking God is small. And so we come together, and when he's big, man, that is it. And you just, God, you're in control. This is not what it appears to be. And I need that. Don't we? Don't we need that? Don't we need God to say, in all my troubles, God is not far. And that whatever I'm going through, it's going to be meaningful. And it's going to be very helpful. And then God's going to turn everything, all these experiences, he's going to turn it towards the good of those who love him. I need to not just know that, I need to experience that. And that is, so it's just, what grace to come before God corporately to exalt his name together. And that's what it means. We magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let's do this. Let us exalt his name together. And we're going to talk about his name because when we talk about the types of praises. All right, sacrifice of praise. We see in 2 Chronicles with King Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah was one of the kings of Judah. In 922 BC, after King Solomon died, all right, he was the last ruler of the unified Israel. All right, the kingdom split into two. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And around 722 BC, King Hezekiah came to the throne. Now, before him was King Ahaz, and he was a horrible king. And part of it was the Assyrians. I don't know if you remember the Assyrians, because around that time, you know, the Assyrians were so dominant. They were so powerful, and they ruled that whole region. And they made Israel pay tribute, and Judah pay tribute to the Assyrians. So basically, you know, they were paying money to them, right? You know, it's kind of, you know, a tribute. And so King Ahaz, in his mind, well, they don't worship our God, and they're powerful. And so their God must be pretty good. So he did something. He basically turned the temple, shut the doors, you know, got rid of stuff, and then instituted basically open idolatry. And it was horrible. And then King Hezekiah comes to the throne and he restores the temple. And we pick it up. And King Hezekiah, I mean, the southern, there were no good kings in the divided kingdom in the north. Zero. If you've been through, walk through the Bible with us, all right, northern kingdom, zero. The southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, had, you know, they say around eight good kings. But of the eight, there's truly just two that were really exceptional. And King Hezekiah was one of them. King Josiah was the other. But But we pick it up because he's reinstituting worship. Now, worship in Israel was the sacrifice. It centered around the sacrifice of animals and offerings of grain. So let's pick it up. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 25. And he stationed the Levites. These are the priests that were, you know, basically they did these sacrifices in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan, the prophet, for the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. So we see that King Hezekiah is essentially taking Psalms and putting it to music, and he's commanding them while the sacrifices were going on, they're singing praises. So King Hezekiah incorporates praise and worship. The Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of King David of Israel. The whole assembly worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. And Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And you see those words in Psalms. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and worshiped. You know, what a great king, right? What a good king. And what a wonderful practice. Now, the sacrifice that we talked about, and we talked about it when we were talking about worship, let's pick up in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Well, let's read the verse first. Through him, then, let us, now we're talking about through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Now that conjures up, you know, past practices. But it's an interesting phrase, right? Sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have. And then it just summarizes the whole thing. There's the sacrifice of lips and then the sacrifice of deeds. And then he wraps it up and says, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Praise and worship. So praise here is the acknowledgement of submission and an agreement to obey his commandments. It is the tenderness of God that we come before God and to offer ourselves up. Now, why is that so important? Do you remember when we said treasure, right? When the man, remember that parable? The man found the treasure in the field. And what did he do? He sold all that he had. He renounced all that he had, right? And then he went and bought that field. Jesus, right? To honor and glorify the Father, what did he do? He offered himself up. And he sacrificed himself for the sake of the honor and glory of his Father. Here's the truth that is being conveyed. To treasure, to worship, the highest form of worship is sacrifice. The highest form of treasuring is sacrifice. Now, we say through him because our sacrifice is not a payment to God for whatever he gave us. It is a response of worship to say, God, you are worthy. You are a treasure. So with our lips, we do that. Say, God, all that I have is yours. And we acknowledge his name. Because in Acts 4:12, it says, there is only one name under heaven by which what? We are saved. But here's the thing about name. Interestingly, if I asked you, what do you treasure the most? What would you say? What do you value the most? If I have to be honest, and I'm never far from this, what we value most is our name, our reputation. What we fear most, that our name be ruined. The reason why we fear public speaking is because we fear the devaluing of our name. Another way of saying it, our ego. The reason why we're so fearful a lot is the name. The name. There's only one name. And so the offering up of our name is what? What we value most in the flesh, and to offer that up is an appropriate sacrifice. So what is it, God, that you... And so the very nature of humility is the offering up of our name. If we're not, if we stop being afraid that our name, our good name, might be ruined, it's okay. And I have to tell that to myself, because I have to be reminded. And we'll talk about that more next week. But we value it. Unhealthy valuing. That is what it means to be in the flesh. We can say our name. We can call it ego, right? We value it. We treasure it. We covet it. We want to hold it in esteem. The thought that we would bring that to the Lord as a form of worship. The sacrifice of praise is the offering up of ourselves. It's the fruit of lips. And then the deeds follow. Hence the worship. And such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So when we praise his name and magnify his greatness, his pleasure, though, is not just his pleasure. His pleasure emanates. Whenever we humble ourselves, there's no greater joy that follows than humility. Romans 12, 1-2. Likewise, Paul says here, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is what it means to worship now. We don't have to offer up bulls and rams. We don't. Christ paid our way. But that doesn't mean that worship stops. Worship does not stop. We boast in the Lord. We offer up worth. We ascribe worth. We treasure him by offering up our name, which is your spiritual worship. And he's saying, do not be conformed to this world, because the world will tell you the most important thing is your name. And sometimes we rephrase that by saying self-esteem. We chased after it. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Don't think like that. That's the way the world thinks. Thanksgiving praise. Thanksgiving at all times, right? That's what the scripture says. It's easy to be dishing out things when things are going well, isn't it? But thanksgiving is not only necessary, right? But it's very beneficial. And it is to acknowledge that God is great. It is a way we magnify God. Because what we're saying is, irrespective of our senses, God, you are great. You're great in love. You're great in mercy. You're great in your sovereignty. And I know nothing about what you're doing. I can't see, but thank you. Thank you. Because why? Because our tendency is to grumble. And scripture forbids grumbling. And why does it forbid grumbling? Because we are accusing God of doing something that he's not doing for his children. When we grumble and we complain and it leads to bitterness, we're making God what? Small. It is the opposite of praise. It is the opposite of worship. Grumbling makes God small. It distances us. He gets out of focus. And so thanksgiving brings him back in focus. See that? Thanksgiving is a way of magnifying the greatness of our God. There is no sidestepping that. Grumbling distances, demagnifies. Thanksgiving brings it back into focus. Just the practicing of it. Psalm 66:2, sing the glory of his name. His name. Give him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Just thank you, God. How awesome are you? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an integral part of our praise. It is how we address, how we come together, how we gather, so that we practice, no matter how we feel. We don't wait to feel better to thank God. We thank God to feel better. Now, don't misunderstand. We don't thank God to feel better. We thank God because he deserves to be thanked. He deserves to be magnified. And when he's pleased, we get the joy. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will what? Magnify him with thanksgiving. Doesn't that make sense? How do we magnify him? With thanksgiving. That's how God comes into view. So if we on a daily basis even want to experience the greatness of our God, to better cast our cares upon him, when we lie down and our minds are ravaging us with anxiety and God seems but a distant thought, God has given us a tremendous gift in our ability to thank him. Even when we don't feel like it, just to say, stop, stop, stop. Because God is a great God. He is the sovereign one. He is the Almighty, and he cares for me. And he cares for me. And he loves me. Bring him into view. Keep him in view throughout the day. Praise the name of God with what? A song. Psalm 86:12. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God. With what? My whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. You know, it's hard, you know, to come and praise God with all your heart. And I want to add with all your body too. You know, there is a like mind, body, emotion connection, isn't there? The reason why the word worship means to bow down, it could have said submit, you know? It could have said to surrender. It could be all up here, but it's the physical posturing of it, isn't it? Right? Lift your hands. You know why? Because we want to make much of God. Make much of him. But we want to thank God, because sometimes with all your heart, because honestly, don't we sometimes come in here and we just don't feel like it? You know, God just feels a little distant. The cares of this world is just too prominent. And we're just not into it. And it takes this whole heart. Just this whole heart. You know, have you ever unlocked a jar that was really tightly locked? You know what I mean? It's just really tight. I don't know how many times I've had to, with all my strength, and then, now, the analogy is limited. There are times when I just can't do it, more so now than before, okay? But sometimes and very often, isn't that what it takes? Isn't that what it takes to open things up? That's what it takes. And I don't know why it takes all your heart to thank God. I don't know why. Because, you know, well, I do know. Because that's just the way God loves us, isn't it? With all his heart. He doesn't know how to do it any other way. He doesn't know how to, because God takes what is most precious to him, his one and beloved son, and he gives him to us. And Jesus takes his most precious, his name. It comes as a carpenter in a lowly manger and offers himself up, forsaking his own name, right? To treasure and to honor and glorify the Father. All his heart. Isn't it the greatest commandment to love your God with all your heart?
So it's not surprising. We come and we thank him with all our heart. And I dare say, even, you know, whatever you can spare in these hands, right? And it's his name. Don't worry about our name. And I will glorify you. Don't worry about your name as you worship. Focus on his name. And we will honor his name forever. I love that. You know, this doesn't stop when we get to meet God face to face in the new kingdom. We will enjoy God. We will praise and honor him. Because we're created in such a way as to experience that. And I love that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of praise. God, that we can come and make much of you. God, and you would be in our midst. That you, Lord, are ever so present, God, and ever so kind to us. God, would you help us to worship you in spirit and truth, to come before you, to offer ourselves up, God? And we do that with a tender heart, to offer ourselves up, God, to you, that you may have your way with us. We offer you, God, our name. Our name, God. Because of your worth. God, because of your name. And God, we come to acknowledge and to magnify your greatness. God, how awesome and amazing you are. And we do so with thanksgiving, God, because you love us and you're kind to us. So God, would you, Lord, lead us by your Spirit, God, into praise and worship. Now, God, and as the days come, that we offer up thanksgiving with all our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.